Our first scripture reading today is from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. We're going to be looking at the Song of Simeon today. And Simeon, we're told that he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. And we're not exactly sure which passage Luke is describing, but he certainly could be describing Isaiah 40 that talks about comfort coming to the people of God. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Let's listen carefully. This is the perfect word of God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And then please turn over to the Gospel according to Luke. We'll be reading, actually the bulletin's a little bit off. We'll be reading Luke 2 verses 22 through 38. The story of Simeon and Anna and their response to the birth of Jesus. Again, listen carefully. This is the Word of God. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the land, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, what a glorious thing You have done for us, that You've spoken to us and that You still speak to us through Your Word. We just read that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever. What a glorious thing that Your Word does not pass away, that You speak to us through it today, that You promise that when Your Word goes forth, that it will not return to You empty, but that You will use it for Your purposes. We pray that today, Lord God, that You would use Your Word this morning, this day, for Your purposes, that You will use it to bring change in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, that You would use it to make us more like Christ, that You would use it to give us a bigger understanding of Your salvation, and that You would use it today to teach us about Christ, to fix our eyes on Christ. We pray, Lord God, as well, that You would open our hearts and our minds to Your Word, that Your Spirit would fill us, that we would be able to see what You would teach us today, and that we would rejoice in our Savior. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about God's decree. And one of the things that we talked about was the importance of waiting, watching, waiting for God to fulfill His Word. And we have great examples of that in our story that we've looked at in Luke today. A Simeon, we're not sure how old he is, but it seems as if he's at the end of his life. He's telling us that he's ready to depart in peace, that he's seen the salvation of God coming in Christ. And so it seems as if he is an older man. And certainly Anna was an older woman. It says she was at least 84. The Greek is somewhat confusing. It may mean that she was a widow for 84 years already. But she's at least 84, maybe even 100 years old. And the only thing that she's waiting for is to see the promised Messiah. That's one of the reasons I love how Luke closes up his stories of Christ's birth. He presents to us these two people that we don't read about anywhere else in Scripture. But what precious people they were. At the time that Jesus comes, most of the people in Israel had given up. They had given up any hope of seeing God bring forth the Christ, the Messiah. They assumed it would never happen in their lifetime. And here is Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel, Anna, who spends almost all of her time in the temple waiting and hoping with expectation that she would be able to see her Savior. That's what we have described for us in the story. In fact, it even describes Simeon as a watchman, someone who would stand in a tower and watch for the enemy to approach, or watch for the herald to come with good news of battle. That's how Simeon's described for us. He's watching for one thing, for the Messiah. And there's also a beautiful progression in these stories of the birth of Christ and the response of the people of God. We've seen the beautiful song that Mary sings as she rejoices in the blessing of her son to Israel, particularly. We've seen the same with Zechariah rejoicing that a Savior, a Deliverer, has come for Israel. We've seen angels singing glory to God because there is peace on earth coming for those with whom God is pleased. But there's a progression as we come to Simeon. He rejoices that there is salvation for all nations. Certainly a glory to the people of Israel, but also a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And that's very important as Luke writes the story. Luke's gospel is written to Gentiles, not to Jews. and over again throughout his gospel, he tells him that the message of salvation is more, is for more people than just the Jews. It's for Romans and Greeks. It's for Egyptians, Ethiopians. It's a gospel for all people. And how fitting that Simeon, as he holds this child in his arms, he rejoices that God has brought light and salvation for Gentiles. Salvation for people from every tribe and every nation. It's interesting as well that Luke will continue that in his story in Acts as the gospel goes from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He rejoices that God has brought salvation and he's brought a Savior for all people. That's what we come to in the story of Simeon. He describes a Savior that's different than what the people of Israel were waiting for. They were looking for a conquering king who would come in with an army and establish the throne of David and Solomon in Jerusalem, make them a powerful nation so that they could go forth and destroy the nations around them. That's what they wanted. But that's not what Simeon is looking for. He's looking for a king who conquers through suffering. He tells Mary that he will be a sign that is opposed, that he will be for the fall and rising of many in Jerusalem, and that because of the Son, Mary as well will have a sword that will pierce through her soul. He's a suffering Savior. He will die for his people. That's why Simeon rejoices. A Savior has come to die for the sins of his people and to bring glory to Israel and salvation to the Gentiles. That's what he was waiting for, and that's the Savior that we worship as well. Now, the words of Simeon are in response to meeting baby Jesus in the temple. So it's important for us to understand at least why they were there, because Luke gives us those details. They're important for us to understand. Why did Joseph, Mary, and Jesus come to the temple on that day? It says in verse 22 that the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. And so they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord in fulfillment of the law. It says that they were doing this as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And they came as well, as it says in verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mary is the mother of a newly born son. She was required to come to the temple 40 days after that birth to be purified. And Jesus as well, this little boy, is the firstborn son of Mary. And because of that, he was to be presented in the temple, presented to the Lord, and he was to be ransomed. They offered 5 shekels to ransom their son according to the law of God. Now, it's very interesting that this is done for Jesus, the Messiah. These requirements of the law that were intended to point toward a Savior who would purify His people, who would ransom His people for service to the Lord. Now that Savior has been born. And He is brought according to the law to receive those same signs that pointed to His birth and His sacrifice and the salvation that He would bring. As this family enters the temple, we're introduced to a man named Simeon. Luke describes him as a faithful servant of God, one of the believing remnant in Jerusalem. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, appointed by God to be a watchman, waiting for the consolation of Israel. In fact, as God's watchman, the Holy Spirit has promised to him that he would not die before he sees the Messiah. Or as Luke describes him, the Lord's Christ. This is an important title in the history of Israel. The Lord's Christ. It's the same term that's used for the Son of God in Psalm 2. In this prophetic psalm, the enemies of God are joining in rebellion against the Lord and against His anointed. Another title that means the Lord's Christ. God tells us that in response to this rebellion, He says, I have set my king on my holy hill in Zion, and he shall destroy all the enemies of God, taking the earth as his inheritance. All the people of the earth shall be called to serve the Lord's Christ. They're called to come before Him with fear and trembling, to kiss the Son and put their trust in Him. Every person must respond to God's anointed with service or rebellion. And that's the child that Simeon holds in his arms, the Lord's Christ. This is the kind of psalm, the psalm that speaks of a conquering king, that filled the Israelites of this time with excitement. They were frustrated with the rule of other nations, the seeming defeat of the line of David, and they were looking for a king who would come with great armies and chariots and horses and establish the throne of David in Jerusalem. They were looking for a political king and an earthly kingdom. That was what they thought of when they heard the Lord's Christ, the name, the title, the Lord's Christ. Yet as we shall see, this is not the vision of Simeon for the consolation of Israel. He's not looking for a conquering king. He's not looking for a savior who will make the Jewish nation powerful. When Simeon speaks of the consolation of Israel, other ideas come to mind. A suffering servant who will face difficult opposition. Simeon is never mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, yet his role as God's servant and his words, as Luke gives them to us, are so important for understanding the redemption that Christ has brought. Simeon serves as proof that this humble baby Jesus is the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And though his method of conquering is different than the gathering of large armies and military strength, he is coming to bring salvation and redemption. He's not coming to establish an earthly kingdom. Yet the suffering servant will bring comforts to the people of God. And that's the comfort that Simeon is waiting for. Now, the family of Joseph would not have presented an impressive image to the average Israelite as they came into the temple that day. The offering they brought, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, it was the sacrifice of a poor family. A family that couldn't afford a lamb for a burnt offering. Most Israelites waiting for the Messiah, they would not expect such a beginning for God's King. But Simeon was brought to the temple that day. He was brought by the Holy Spirit and led to this poor family, to this baby born to poor peasants. And as he takes Jesus into his arms, he responds with a beautiful hymn of praise to God. It says in verse 28 that he took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon speaks as a servant, a willing servant with the sovereign God and Master, as a servant with one task to complete by the word of his God. He's been appointed as a watchman to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. And in seeing this baby, his task is complete. He asked God for permission to depart in peace, for his responsibility has been fulfilled. As Simeon proclaims, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Or more literally, "My eyes have seen your bringing salvation." This child is not only the Redeemer and the Savior, but salvation itself is tied up in Jesus. He is salvation. Here in the temple in Jerusalem, where God dwells with His people, Simeon now sees the coming of God's salvation. That Savior that was promised in all those ceremonies that have been performed in the temple. Even the ceremonies of the law being carried out this day by this poor family for this little child. Even those are being fulfilled. Simeon cannot help but sing praises to God, for his life's work is in his arms and before his eyes. As watchman for the consolation of Israel, Simeon describes the great salvation for which he has waited. It's a salvation prepared before all peoples, not reserved only for the people of Israel. He describes it in verse 32 as a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This idea that God's Messiah is sent for all nations, even for Gentiles, comes as quite a surprise for the people of Israel. They're waiting for a Messiah to establish their nation, the Jewish people. Certainly they expect for the nations to see their great salvation. But Simeon's vision, given by the Holy Spirit, is much larger. He describes this salvation, he describes this Messiah as a light for revelation to the Gentiles. They will not only see the salvation of Israel, but it will be their salvation as well. God has sent salvation for the Gentiles. That's one of the points that Luke is stressing in the story of Simeon. This gospel, being particularly written to Greek believers, stresses the universal nature of God's redemption. It's for all peoples. Therefore, it should be no surprise to us that in the progression of these stories and these songs, that it plays an important part in the hymn of Simeon. Not only is the nation of Israel blessed by the birth of Jesus, but all nations will rejoice in the light of salvation that comes in Jesus. The message of Christ and His apostles is filled with images of the salvation for every nation. If this issue, almost more than any other, serves as a point of contention for the people in Israel, they're jealous for the special place of the Jewish people. They're not eager to see the salvation extended to other nations. But it's the message of the gospel. There's no more Jew or Greek. Salvation is for everyone. And it was part of the plan from the beginning. It's the message that God spoke through His prophets to the people in Israel. Isaiah told them that Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your shining. And when God gave His covenant to Abraham, He told them, you will be a blessing to all the nations. You'll be a father of many nations, and by you, the salvation of God will be a blessing to all peoples. That was the message of the gospel from the beginning. They will be a blessing to all nations as salvation flows from them and through them to the nations. And so Simeon continues by describing the salvation, this Jesus, as the glory of God's people, Israel. They're given a special place in God's redemptive plan. For the salvation of the nations comes from the tribe of Judah, through the son of David, and through the nation of Israel. Christ is born a son of David. And all the nations, as they come to God through Jesus, they give glory to Israel. He's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's Simeon's hymn of praise. He gives glory to God for placing Him as a watchman, for showing Him the bringing of salvation in this baby Jesus. The salvation is worthy of praise, for it has been presented before the face of all peoples, before every nation. And by this baby will people of every race and nation receive the gift of salvation. Praise God that His promised salvation has come through the birth of this Messiah. That's the message of Simeon's short, profound hymn. So how do Mary and Joseph respond to these words concerning their child? It says in verse 33 that his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. You might expect them to agree with Simeon, to join in his song, to give praise to God for their son. They'd already heard the words of God's angel concerning his birth, that their son would be named Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. They knew their son was sent as a redeemer. But it says they marveled. They were amazed at these words concerning their son. Why were they amazed? Well, it seems that the scope of this salvation, that he's a light for revelation to the Gentiles, that this almost takes them by surprise. They marvel at it. He presented this salvation coming through Jesus on a bigger scale than they could ever imagine, as a blessing to all the nations. In Mary's song, she focuses on God's blessing to His servant Israel, which He spoke to our fathers. primarily she expresses the blessing of Jesus to Israel. It may be that they didn't understand yet. They didn't realize the extent of the salvation that their son would bring. That he's coming to all the nations. But also, while they've heard from the angels concerning their baby, the scope of his birth, the incarnate Son of God, it would still be something tremendous, mysterious, difficult to grasp. While struggling with this experience, they're now introduced to a man that they've probably never met before. And he's telling them about their position of their son as the Messiah, as the Christ. These events would continue to produce amazement and wonder in these young, new parents. Mary was certainly pondering them in her heart, as she's done before and will do again, treasuring them, rejoicing in the birth of her son. As these events build on one another, she's described as pondering them, treasuring them. She's responded in faith and belief, but she continues to struggle with the immensity of this revelation. And so she marvels at what this man says to her. And Simeon goes on to follow this hymn of praise with a word of blessing to Mary and Joseph. His words particularly addressed to Mary. He says in verse 34 that Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." In three parallel phrases, he describes the path of redemption, the path that has been laid out for their son. These phrases, when brought together, they imply two types of people: those who reject or oppose Jesus, and those who believe. And for a mother that's already struggling and pondering the future of her child, his words might not be so comforting to her. No mother wants her son to face opposition and persecution. And yet that's what Simeon describes for her son. And yet even this opposition and persecution provide great joy to Simeon. And they are the source of great joy and hope for God's people. He tells her, first of all, that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. These words in and of themselves were probably confusing to Mary. But they're similar to a message that Jesus proclaims over and over again during his ministry. Jesus quotes several times from Psalm 118, verse 22. Several times he uses those words in response to the leaders of the Jews who are opposing him. Psalm 118, it says that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118 paints the picture of a king appointed by God, but a king who's rejected by the people, especially rejected by the leaders of Israel. Despite their opposition, the Lord establishes his king on his holy mountain. And the citizens rejoice while his opponents are crushed. In applying this to Jesus, the same message is applied to his claim as Messiah. That this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. Those who reject Jesus will fall by God's hand, while those who submit will be raised up. Literally, it says that they will be resurrected. There will be opposition, but the Lord will raise up his people, those who believe. He will be for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And he will be a sign that is opposed. Literally, a contradictory sign. Jesus is the sign of salvation, the consolation of Israel, which God promised to his people. The angels told the shepherds that this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. He is a sign of salvation for the people of God. Yet there will be many who oppose him, who speak against him, who reject the sign that God has given and reject his salvation. And in these words, Simeon offers a warning to Mary. For she will certainly observe many who violently oppose her son. Think about that, a mother seeing her son opposed by the very people that he comes to save. And the warning becomes more ominous as Simeon tells her that a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Simeon might not understand it, but he's pointing her forward to that day when her son is nailed to the cross and Mary stands at the foot of the cross. Imagine her pain and her suffering, the sword that would go through her own soul as she sees the suffering of her son, even to the point of death. Death on a cross. Death as a criminal. This opposition to Christ will be so strong that he will be crucified. And a sword will pierce through the soul of Mary. This is the ultimate fall of many in Israel. The murder of the one sent to save God's people. And why must these things happen? Why must there be such opposition to the Son of God? Simeon tells us in verse 35 that these things happen so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. One writer, in describing these words of Simeon, he calls Jesus the inescapable one. There's no position of neutrality regarding Jesus. For our thoughts regarding Jesus, regarding what is true, regarding salvation, will be revealed. All must respond in belief or unbelief. All must respond to the truth regarding Christ and the cross, to the sign of salvation that God brings. Either it's foolishness to us, or it's the power of God unto salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, that Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. He goes on to say that this message of Christ crucified is a stumbling block to Jews, it's folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus was sent as a sign to Jews and to Gentiles. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And in sending a sign into the world, God has sent his salvation as a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and the Son of God will bring salvation for people of every nation. This is the power and the wisdom of God unto salvation. But it doesn't come in the way that was expected. It comes through opposition, through suffering, a sword piercing through Mary's soul, and her son nailed to a cross. This is the pattern of salvation. Jesus Christ humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But because of his sacrifice, he has been highly exalted and given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the message of salvation. And it comes to us from Simeon. There is opposition and falling. But only in this opposition, only in the suffering, only in the cross of Jesus is there rising in salvation. Persecution and crucifixion bring resurrection. Simeon understood the power and the wisdom of God in a way that most Israelites could never understand. In the Gospel of Luke, he's placed as a watchman, a servant of God, to proclaim the consolation of Israel. God's bringing salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. He fulfills his duty as a witness of God's salvation, and he proclaims the covenant faithfulness of his God. The salvation which is before all peoples, it reveals the thoughts of every heart, those who fall and those who are resurrected by belief in the Son. That's the message of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is your salvation promised by God. Believe in the inescapable one. The one who is sent for the falling and rising of all mankind. Believe and you will be saved. This message of salvation calls for a response of praise and thanksgiving like the response of Simeon. He could depart in peace because he had seen God's salvation. He could depart in peace because he'd seen the joy and glory of God in this baby. He could depart in peace longing for the day of consummation when the salvation was complete, when he could reside for all eternity in the presence of God. If that is the salvation into which we have been called, then we too can rest in the consolation of Israel, the only source of peace and hope. With Simeon, we can praise God for the great salvation that has been sent in Christ. And with Simeon, we can look forward to departing in peace, knowing with confidence the deliverance of those who serve the Lord's Christ. Simeon and Anna are beautiful pictures of the gospel, those who are waiting for the consolation of Israel. And like Simeon and Anna, you too are called as watchmen, waiting for the consummation of God's salvation. Though even now we rest in the salvation, we know a day is coming when the salvation of Christ will be complete. And we are called to wait and to watch and to prepare for that day. Like Simeon and like Anna, you can wait for that day with excitement and anticipation. For one day you will behold the bringing of God's salvation in its fullness, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and when Christ will reign forever. It is with confident anticipation that we long for that day. And even now we can sing the praises of our conquering King who reigns over the nations and has brought salvation for the people of God. Let's pray. Lord God, what a great salvation you have brought for your people. What a glorious deliverance was purchased in Christ. What a foolish message you've given us. A message that seems so strange in the eyes of the world. A suffering Savior. A humble King. Who doesn't come with armies and chariots. Who does not come with weapons that this world can understand. But who comes with a cross, with a sacrifice, with pierced hands and pierced side. We rejoice, Lord God, in our suffering Savior, who has brought glory to the people of Israel, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, who has brought salvation. We pray, Lord God, that we would find great comfort in that message, that we would rest in it, that it would be a message that guides us, that is the foundation of how we live in our families, how we live in our churches, how we live as the people of God. We pray, Lord God, as well, that we would live our lives with great anticipation and preparation for the day when Jesus will come again in power and great glory to gather His bride. We pray, Lord God, even as we continue in worship, that we would look forward to that day, that we would have some kind of foretaste or reminder of the glory of the salvation that we have in Christ and the glory of the redemption that He has already purchased and that is being accomplished even now. We pray, Lord God, that our worship now would be something that is beautiful and pleasing to You as we rejoice in the salvation and as we rejoice and our Savior. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.